Greetings, Lydell. This is Bob Riles, your host of the new Grace Radio series, Voices. This new adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell. Neighbors talking to neighbors about matters of mutual interest and mutual concern. Our guest today is Tommy Benasco. Tommy's running for police chief here in Slidell. We thought you might like to hear some of his thoughts on the election and some of his ideas about being the police chief. So, Tommy, welcome. Glad you're here.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, we have a good police department.
Oh, absolutely. We have one of the best in the state.
It's been good for a long time. We've had great leadership in the past, so it's not like we're trying to fix a bunch of broken things. Why do you want the job? Why do you want to take it forward from here?
I just think that the police chief office in itself and the position could make such a positive contribution to the community. There's just so many things that the police department can get involved as far as, just changing the direction of the youth, you know, and giving them an opportunity to be productive citizens and not be our future felons that we're used to dealing with.
Of course, law enforcement has got to be the number one thing, keeping law and order in our communities. That's got to be number one. But already I hear you talking about relations and relationships among people in the community, improving community. And I guess it sounds like maybe you're thinking preemptive. Before it ever gets to the point that you've got to arrest somebody and take them in handcuffs, you're wanting to do things to avoid that.
Absolutely. The purpose of a police department is not only to put the bad guy in jail. If we can keep him from becoming a bad guy, our job is still there. It's still needed, but we just serve a different purpose. You know, and I use the term bad guy, in lack of using criminal or anything like that. I just think that, you know, we have an opportunity to stop the cycle, change the direction of where our youth are going. You know, unfortunately, we need to be able to give the youth an opportunity to become better and productive citizens. You know, by either teaching them a trade, showing them how to run a business, just doing something positive, especially completing their education. You know, so for me, that's the most important thing. And I think crime rate and everything else that falls around that will change, you know, for the better. But that's the nucleus of it. That's the center of it.
So building the good building blocks in our young people's lives is really an important part of law enforcement, and that is the preventative measure.
Absolutely. It's no different than changing your oil.
Good. What are some of the practical things that you might see happening in that area through the police department itself?
Well, currently I am the chairman of the board for the Boys and Girls Club of Slidell.
Okay. Great.
So I have an opportunity to be a part of a great organization. When I look at it, to be able to have the chief of police office behind me, as well as a organization like the Boys and Girls Club, I think the possibilities are tremendous as far as being able to reach out to our youth. I mean, currently right now, the Boys and Girls Club, we service about 100 children a day. Now, if I can change that to 1,000 children a day, what kind of effect would that have, you know, on our society? I mean, I know that the 100 that we deal with today on a daily basis, I know that they are going to be productive citizens. You know, we focus, when the children come there after school, the first thing we focus on is schoolwork. So the first hour is spent strictly on making sure that their homework is done and they're keeping up with their class. We're giving them that extra opportunity to excel. And then after that, of course, we give them the structured environment to where, you know, they play and they do all kind of different recreational items. And then third and most importantly, they leave with something in their stomach. I would have thought that maybe that's not too important. You know, when they get home, they can eat. But I was taught a lesson several years ago when I first came on as the chairman. We were actually vetting a company to supply us with food for the children every day. So I had the gentleman come out with 100 meals. And that day we only had 95. And I had a young boy come up to me and he said to me, Mr. Tommy, do you mind if I have another meal? Sure, we have a couple of extra, absolutely. You know, he was still hungry. And about 10 minutes later, he came back to me and real shy and bashful. I said, son, are you still hungry? He says, no, sir. He says, can I bring one home to my mom? And that's when you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, my children have never had to go to sleep hungry. there are children in Slidell that do. So to be able to give them that as well, that just, it just makes me whole.
You know, that's the kind of leadership that is lacking today. A lot of times we have the leadership that says, this is what I want you to do, and this is how I want you to behave, but I'm not going to follow the same thing.
Right.
But this is what you need to do, kind of a super top-down commanding position. But rather, leadership by doing, leadership by saying, here's the example of what we can be and what we can do. I really believe that that's an inspiring way to lead, and an inspiring way to lead the policemen of Slidell.
I feel wholeheartedly that, you know, God's always putting us in a place where we need to be. He's always leaving us breadcrumbs. And for me, I'm just following the breadcrumbs.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. What are some of the administrative challenges at Office of Police Chief?
I think the biggest thing right now is, for one, maintaining a balanced budget, you know, just like any other public entity. You have a budget that you deal with, and you need to make sure that you work within those parameters. The second part to that is finding ways of being able to raise the income of our starting officers.
Okay.
Now, the upper echelon, the rank structure, the sergeants, lieutenants, captains, they make well. You know, can they do better? Absolutely. Where I see the biggest deficiency is in that first couple of years. And it's just, all we're doing is we're hiring officers, we're training them, and we have a very good training program, but they're going to other agencies. We're losing them. So we can't retain our officers that we're hiring. And then we're having a hard time filling all the positions because of the monies that are offered, you know, for pay. Biggest thing for me is finding ways that we can increase their pay, but without increasing taxes. Taxes right now are at its highest. I myself will not go to the voters to ask for more tax. I would much rather treat it like a business and find ways to cut on the budget and have those monies applied towards payroll. The other thing too is we lack going after the money that's out there. All we need to do is work grants. I mean, there's so many federal grants that are out there available. If you don't ask for them, you don't get them.
Okay.
You know, so if we can implement, you know, some grant writers into the mix and have them start writing grants and bringing some more money in. And there's a couple of other different items that I think that we can do as a revenue producing way of bringing money into the department and not putting it onto the backs of the taxpayer.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, we really need to pay our officers better.
The beginning pay is it commensurate in Slidell with other law enforcement agencies, or?
No, we're the bottom of St. Tammany Parish between us and one other agency.
Really?
Yeah. We are at the bottom.
So it really behooves us to take care of the most valuable asset we have, which is people. You can buy technology, you can buy the latest guns, you can buy the latest machinery and do all your DNA stuff, the scientific things that police do to know what's happening.
Hmm.
But really the most valuable part of your whole program has got to be people.
Absolutely.
And if you can have somebody train them and stay with you for a significant period of time.
We want everybody to retire from there.
Awesome.
Yeah. You know, and that would be the goal, you know, because then you have longevity. You have people that are there that have mm-hmm. committed their life to that particular job and hope to retire within 25, 30 years. You know, that's the atmosphere that we need to create. We don't have that right now. We're lacking that, you know. So if we can create that atmosphere and get those people to where, you know, even some monies that are offered as bonus, educational. You know, if you have a degree, we'll pay you a little extra. We'll give you a bonus. You know, depending on what degree you have, you'll get a little bit more.
Okay.
You know, just those types of incentives, there's nothing there for that. And I think we need to find ways to pay for it so that, you know, we can implement it. The last, you know, and throughout the course of me running this campaign, I keep on hearing, well, the officers can work details. Or there's overtime. They're already working 12-hour shifts as it is, whether they work day shift or night shift. So when, say, for instance, an officer is working night shift, he's working 2 weeks of night shift. Well, guess what? During that whole 2 weeks, while he's working, he's sleeping during the day. He has no time with his family. So now we're going to ask him to go ahead and work a detail to subsidize his income so that he can make ends meet. Well, we're taking either the husband or the wife from the family, having them work more, and we're separating that family unit. And for me, putting that family unit back together and keeping them home as much as possible so they can spend quality time with their children is the most important thing.
Well, that sounds like a real formula for developing a strong family unit, which in turn makes for a strong policeman if he knows he's got his family behind him.
Absolutely.
And that makes a big difference.
Well, it makes a big difference in his demeanor. Can you imagine trying to police and get into your car and work and answer calls and having to deal with domestic problems at home, whether yeah. you can't make ends meet or you and your spouse are arguing because there's money problems, and that's the root of most domestic problems is sure. money. Mm-hmm. You know, so if we can take that element away from them, now they're coming to work with less burden on their back. All that relates to is treating the public better. I mean, we can ask all day long and ask officers to say, you know, you must respect every citizen you come in contact with. But if you have that burden on you throughout your whole shift, you can't tell me that none of that is going to be telegraphed to the persons that you come in contact with.
Building strong people builds a strong police force.
Absolutely.
Builds a strong community, one which people want to live in.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I've been here for 30 years, a little bit more than 30 years. When my wife and I first moved here, or first seen Slidell, I mean, we're from New York, so originally. And when we first came here, it was like, we want to raise a family here.
Yeah. You know?
So we were blessed enough to raise four children, three boys and a girl, and this is our home.
Well, you know, St. Tammany is a great place to raise a family. The quality of life here is just outstanding for just a lot of good reasons. It's not just one reason, but a lot of good people pulling together have created just a wonderful environment. But yet, you know, stuff's happening today. And I guess I'd like to get your take on some of the violence towards policemen. Guys just trying to do their job. They just trying to do the best. I find it hard to believe that there are policemen who are going out there looking for trouble. And maybe they are. I'm sure they are. There must be somebody somewhere who's just got a chip on his shoulder and he's looking for a place to plant that chip. But the other side is, I believe that those guys are in minorities, that most people just want to do a good job. They want to be recognized. They want that pat on the back that says, hey, you did good. But yet when they walk out, they're at risk. They're at risk in the community that they choose. And I've heard it said that probably if it's something happened in our community here, it wouldn't be from inside the community. There would be trouble coming from outside. But what is your attitude? What do you tell the guys? How do you lead a group of men like that to say, I know you're at risk, but here's what we need to do?
Well, you know, at first and foremost, the police job in itself, you're always at risk. It's nothing to be taken lightly. But at the same time, I always tell the officers, if you treat the people you come in contact with respect, normally you will receive that same respect back. But I also tell them, you treat somebody with respect and they don't. You're not there to be barrauded. You're not there to be their victim. You have to stand the line. When an officer announces to an individual that they're under arrest, that's not up for question. That is not up for debate. Once those words have been uttered, there's no returning them. You can't take them back. You can't say, well, I changed my mind. They have to go to jail. It's unfortunate, but that's the way it has to be. And that's where sometimes it escalates to a point where it should not have to. So for the most part, for me, if we have our officers, we make sure that they stay as professional and as respectful as possible, I think everything else will fall in place. There's not to say that you can stop somebody from outside, come in and put force upon us their personal agenda. That happened in Baton Rouge. The person that shot at those police officers was not from Baton Rouge. Jeez. That could happen anywhere in the United States. And we have to be cognizant that it could happen anywhere. So for the officers here, safety is paramount. Making sure that each and every one of them go home at the end of the day would be my most important thing to worry about, is making sure they get home.
Well, this has been really exciting talking to you today. I understand better some of the challenges that you will face as a police chief and some of the opportunities you'll also have to make a real difference in the community. And it's really great. Thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to add to what we've talked about today that would be important for the listeners of Grace Radio to hear?
No, just that, I've been a police officer since 1993. I've been involved with the police department for a long period of time. I've had an extensive career. Since then, I've been involved in the community. That's been very rewarding for me. And I believe nothing can be more rewarding than to take the next step and become Slidell's police chief. With that being said, on November 8th, I humbly request that you vote for me, Tommy Benasco, Slidell police chief.
I'm sure you've given us a lot of good reasons to consider the request, and thank you for being here today. It's really been a delightful and an enlightening conversation with you. So thank you very much, and I wish you success in your race.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices of Grace Radio today. You can call us at 985-250-1037. Leave us a comment, send us a text. And if you have thoughts about the interview that we've just had today and something you'd like to express, well, we'd certainly like to hear from you. We encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell, and where you can leave us a comment as well. Or, if you'd like, check into our website, www.graceradioofslidell.net, where you can leave a tax-deductible gift to support this station. It takes listeners like you to keep programming like this on the air. Thank you for your support in the past, and we look forward to your continued support in the future. Again, you can call us 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again on the Voices of Slidell Daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m., and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.